Welcome to
the Plant-Based Podcast.
In case you didn't know already, plants are amazing. You can
eat them,
wear them,
drink them,
nourish your skin with them,
grow them,
love them,
and be inspired by them. So why not join us on the Plant-Based Podcast as we speak to the movers, shakers, and growers in this amazing plant world.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
So today we are with Merin Chilcott from BAM Clothing, and Merin is the garment guru of BAM, actually the sustainability manager, aren't you? And just so you can kind of maybe picture where we are, because we always like to let our listeners know where we are and what we're doing. We are by King's Cross Station in London, but we're actually at Coal Drops Yard. Is that right? Yeah. Coal Drops Yard, yeah.
We are. We're desperately trying to find a kind of soundproof huddle. So yeah. We're between some artichokes and some centre geraniums.
And there's also a conference pear behind us
as well. Oh, yeah, there is.
So there's lots of plants around. The table's soaking wet because it's been raining. The sky is grey, and if it starts to pour down with rain, I'm going to complain that my hair has gone frizzy.
But have you got your bamboo undies on?
I've got my bamboo... I've actually got a bamboo T-shirt with me, just so we can discuss it, because, you know, well, that's going to come up later, isn't
Excellent.
It?
Excellent. Well,
anyway,
I love it.
So. Yeah, we do love it. So thank you for meeting us, coming on the podcast and sitting outside.
Thank you for having me.
On a wet, very exciting autumnal day. But anyway, we can get over that, can't we? So, Merin, just to introduce yourself, tell us about yourself and, you know, your role in BAM.
Thanks for having me, by the way.
Thank you.
Very exciting to be here. I've been listening to your podcast over the past couple of weeks. Very exciting. I've been trying to get houseplant tips off it because...
Oh, you're like the one coming up.
Probably like a million other people, a new houseplant owner jumping on the bandwagon and not really knowing how to look after them properly.
We love you for it, though.
Thanks for having me. So I'm from BAM. BAM is a clothing company making clothing out of bamboo, as you know. And we're sort of on a mission to... basically create clothing for active people and try and become their favorite sustainable clothing brand, basically trying to create clothing for activities like yoga, climbing, just adventure, basically.
That's nice.
But made from more sustainable and natural raw materials like bamboo, like organic cotton, and as a more sustainable alternative to traditional active wear, basically. So that's a little bit about BAM.
That's cool. But I'm amazed with BAM because it's actually been around longer than we imagined, because we've got this like plant-based trend right now. So you'd think that BAM was a new company, but it's not. It's been around a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, so our founder, David Gordon, started the company in 2006. Basically started that he's actually an amazing guy, really inspirational. It was a championship pole vaulter, has done loads of expeditions around the world. He's a really interesting guy, and he cares a lot about the planet, and he wanted to start a business that business could be successful by doing business in the right way and without exploiting people and the planet. And so he started it a really long time ago and found bamboo and loved that it was a really sustainable crop.
Hold on, I'm really sorry, but I have this picture of him like pole vaulting with bamboo. Like
yes.
A
yeah.
That ties in
bamboo.
Well.
Like I can kind of see that happening.
We use images of him pole vaulting all the time, which is great. Like, you know, he did it at an age that you wouldn't normally become pole vaulting champion as well.
That's
so
bad.
it's really inspiring. And, and he just basically wanted to show that business could be done with purpose and could be done in a better way. Started BAM, found bamboo, and loved how sustainable it was, but also just loved how amazingly comfortable you could make, how amazingly soft it was, and how comfortable the clothing was with it. And so we've been going 13 years and started with Dave packing boxes in his living room to now we've got 40 people split between two offices. And
we're
really growing.
The catalogue's lovely. Yeah. It's one of those catalogues you kind of drool over a little bit.
It's a new age Argos catalogue almost. It's in my hands.
Yeah. Oh gosh, cool. Yeah, I remember those days of getting the Argos catalogue, being really excited looking for it.
That's what we want.
the clothing alternative. Yeah. So I've got some BAM clothing, which is fabulous. And I was saying earlier on that the knickers are just so comfortable. They really are lovely, and the socks, everything. Anyway, I can't imagine how you get clothes from a piece of bamboo. Like, how does that happen? Like, what's the process?
So bamboo, almost all bamboo clothing that you see on the market will be made from bamboo viscose, which is a regenerated cellulose fibre. So you have your natural fibres made from plant-based or animal-based materials, so like cotton and wool and things like that. So you've got your natural fibres, and then you've got your synthetic fibres at the other end of the spectrum, made of petroleum, fossil fuels, non-renewable sources. And then in the middle, you've got your regenerated cellulose fibres. Some people call them man-made cellulose fibres. And those are fibres which are made out of natural materials like wood or like bamboo, mainly made of trees or bamboo, and then put through a chemical process basically that makes them into the final fibre, and then that final fibre has some amazing attributes of natural fibres, like being biodegradable and being super absorbent, and so it's got some great performance attributes of natural fibres, but it also mimics in some ways synthetic fibres, which is why it makes it quite a good alternative for more synthetic sportswear kind of
thing. It's interesting because fashion as an industry has a massive impact on the environment, doesn't it, in so many ways. And I know it's growing, and it's kind of on track to be one of the worst greenhouse emitters, isn't it?
In the coming years.
And we do treat fashion as a throwaway, don't we? We're very blasé about it. You know, we can get t-shirts for £2 and trousers for a fiver, and then we wear them once and we chuck them away, or they might hopefully go to charity and get reused, of course. But as a business like BAM, are you trying to work towards changing that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the fact that we have this preference for using these much more sustainable raw materials like bamboo and like organic cotton. I mean, bamboo as a raw material, if you look at it compared to cotton, so land use, as you were talking about, land use is set to increase for fibre production. The land use required for fibre production set to increase by 35% over the next 10 years, which is going to be something like 115 million hectares, which is land that could be used for reforestation or for food production for our growing population. And if you look at the amount of land it takes to create the same amount of fibre from bamboo and from cotton, it's less than a quarter.
Right, okay.
So the amount of fibre that we can get from using bamboo as a raw material is much higher than using something like conventional cotton.
Because cotton's only about a foot tall, isn't it? But bamboo is obviously
4 foot
tall. Gigantic. Yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
And bamboo, the other amazing thing about bamboo is that as a crop, it actually stays in the ground. So harvesting it, you're just harvesting the mature shoots, and the roots of the plant still stay in the ground, which is a really unusual thing for most crops that are used for fibre production. So cotton has to be replanted, trees that are chopped down to make viscose have to be replanted, whereas bamboo can stay in the ground. And actually the majority of the carbon that's stored in bamboo is stored in its root system. So because that root system stays in the ground, the carbon is stored in that plant for much, much longer. So if you've got a tree and you're chopping that down to make viscose or to make furniture or whatever else you can use bamboo instead for, all that carbon's gone, and then you've got to replant that tree, and soil erosion starts to happen, and that damages
the local
environment.
Yeah.
It really does.
So as a crop, it's really incredible.
And you say you're only using the shoot, or?
Yeah, so you don't pull up the whole plant, you use mature shoots, so they're different shoots from the plant, and they'll mature at different times.
But how much of the shoot are you using when you harvest it?
So they'll basically chop, they'll chop a whole
stem.
Okay, right. Okay, so like a whole length of like maybe 10 foot bamboo.
Yes.
And it's taken to be processed.
Yeah, but I think different species grow in different ways. But but the whole plant stays in stays in the ground. So
and then they just shoot off more because you'll take away the. I mean, I've done that in my garden. I know. I'll cut the bamboo back. Big mistake because it just shoots everywhere else.
Exactly. So by harvesting it and by using it for fiber production, we're actually almost protecting and prolonging the life of that plant, where it's storing that carbon.
So basically, this is the only time that we're happy that bamboo continues to grow and goes mad.
I know people have loads of issues with it in this country, don't they?
But, in the garden, if it's not contained, it's not great. But we'll talk about that later. I love bamboo.
Yeah,
it's nice.
But in my head, I can't quite get there yet. With like, obviously, cotton. I see cotton. You know, you can see the coating around the seed. Kind of looks like cotton. But bamboo, how does it get from being a bamboo stem to being a t-shirt? Like, it's processed.
That goes through the chemical process.
It is a chemical process, and that's sort of, I suppose, one of the things that comes up as a controversy around bamboo.
Yeah.
And that it is a chemical process. Put into chips, and then the chips are broken down, and then they're put into a chemical solution, and then they're kind of fired out of a little shower head, basically, that makes them into this long fiber, and then that's chopped into little fibers, and then when you see the end result, it looks basically like a cotton fiber, and then it can be blended up with other fibers and made into fabric like normal. So yeah, the chemical process is there, but I think the most important thing for us when we're looking at that chemical process is to make sure that we're working with the right kind of suppliers, and we've gone out and visited all of our viscose producers, and we're working really hard to ensure that we're sourcing from the most the most responsible suppliers out there. But the fact is, chemicals are used throughout textile production, and
how would you make clothes without chemicals?
So you could almost. So lots of you can't really make clothes without chemicals. You have to. Even natural dyes are officially, they are chemicals, but I think the most important thing and the focus in the industry needs to be on chemical management, and technology will improve and chemistry will improve, but until we get to that point, working with the right sort of suppliers and making sure that you're being transparent through your supply chain, and going out like we have, going out and visiting all the way back to our bamboo source, it's really important to just know what's going on in your own supply chain and working with the right suppliers who are managing those chemicals properly.
It's like a big shift in the fashion industry, and it's going to take years to make it completely sustainable.
Exactly,
it's like bit by bit, you know.
And until that point, we have to reduce our reliance on conventional cotton and synthetic fibres, because, you know, you guys were asking about the difference between bamboo and cotton, and with conventional cotton, we've seen really bad, like, ecological disasters, like the loss of the Aral Sea. I don't know if you know about that, but a whole sea in Central Asia has completely disappeared, basically, because there used to be a thriving fishing community there, and you know, back in the 60s, they decided that cotton cultivation was more profitable, so they basically used all the Aral Sea to irrigate their cotton crops, and that sea is basically completely dried up, and at one point went from 20 to 40,000 fish per year down to 1,000 fish per year that could be fished from that sea, and it's starting to go back up again now. People are starting to realise the damage that this has caused, but that is due to over-reliance a massive demand on conventional cotton. It's like 65% of global fibre usage or something is conventional cotton, and organic cotton's a really good solution, but it's only 1% of that at the moment. And then we've got synthetic fibres on the other side, synthetic fibres take up 65% of global fibre usage. Cotton's around 35%, I believe. And then viscose is a smaller percentage, but I feel it's a really important fibre to help us to reduce our reliance on synthetic and cotton fibres, and we really need to do that to try and reverse some of
these. It's interesting that really, like so many of the environmental issues at the moment come back to plants and how actually it's plants that can help us.
And how they've been used or misused.
Yeah.
How
they've been used, misused, or used. Personally, I think we should just all go back to wearing leaves.
Mm. Well, yeah. Well, that's almost part of the, you know, if we...
Okay,
like hemp.
Sunita.
Like hemp is a really sustainable fibre, but if we all decided to wear hemp, if every single person on the planet wore hemp, we'd end up with a load of hemp monocultures. Yeah. So we you know, there isn't a perfect solution. And
as
we
humans,
about balance.
We are very bad at getting a balance. And that's exactly right. We're rubbish at trying to create a balance, aren't we?
Exactly.
Either one or the other.
Yeah, because that brings me on to another question. What other plants are used to make clothes, like, commonly then? Because obviously cotton we all know, bamboo we now know, but you also make clothes from hemp?
Hemp and...
Bam, don't do that, but it is done.
Yeah, but it is done, and we're definitely not against using hemp as one of the fibres that we would blend with. I suppose you can also get linen made from flax plants and... traditional viscose. So we make our viscose out of bamboo, but traditional viscose and tencel and other other man-made cellulosic fibres are made often from eucalyptus trees or other hardwood trees. Which
it's the whole world I don't really know about.
No, I know, it's fascinating.
Which actually from overuse and over demand, we're getting problems with eucalyptus tree monocultures at the moment, which is why you know, bamboo is a really great solution for the man-made cellulosic industry. Lots of different plants, really. And now even post-consumer textiles, we're starting to be able to make textiles out of those. So as long as it's some kind of cellulose, you can make some kind of fibre out of it. So an old cotton t-shirt, in theory, you could recycle that back into making a fibre again.
Cool. Can I just jump back to bamboo a minute? Where is it grown? Because can it be grown in most continents around the world? Or because we can grow bamboo in the UK, but is that... good enough for clothes production?
No, it's not. It's a different species that attacks people's gardens in the UK. So there are
lots
of different
species.
You can't
be knitting your own knickers, Ellen.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, you probably could. You'd just have to probably
be retting it for days and days.
Yeah.
So where's the most commonly grown?
China.
You've obviously got some farms. And
So, I mean, we don't own the farms or anything. Mm-hmm. But, they're not farms necessarily. In China... you have plantations. You also have... just naturally occurring bamboo forests, which can be harvested by local people. They're like government owned and they can be harvested by local farmers. It gives them an additional income and then it's sold back to the government and then that's sold on to the pulp producers. And they're all sort of trained and taught about harvesting it responsibly and making sure that avoiding, you know, deforestation to plant more bamboo, which is obviously not what we want to happen. Our bamboo all comes from China. It is grown in other continents like South America. I think there's some bamboo. But it's also important that bamboo, you know, we could all go, oh, it's a great carbon sink and we could start growing bamboo everywhere, but actually if it's not grown in the right places, just like lots of plants, if it's not grown in the right places, it then would start to need irrigating. And it would, you know, at the moment, bamboo, when it's grown in these when it's grown in the right places and in naturally occurring forests, it doesn't need any irrigation, any pesticides or anything. But if you started putting a plantation in the wrong place, you'd end up having
to... You'd probably have the fall of cotton, I
exactly,
guess.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it is all over the place.
Excellent. Oh, it's really interesting to learn about this whole world. Because I've been wearing the clothes for so long, but I wasn't sure why. I knew that it was good and sustainable. I knew it felt comfortable, but I wasn't sure of quite what the good reason behind it. Really.
Yeah, you're right. I've been really guilty, I think, in years gone by of doing the kind of throwaway fashion. And I've become a little bit more aware of what I'm buying, how long I'm using it for, what I'm doing to recycle it, even where I'm purchasing it from, hence having some BAM clothing. And so it's like a massive topic. I'm like genuinely fascinated. I'm kind of just sitting here taking it all in. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to plants, and that's what I love about it, you know. All the answers are in plants somehow. So in part two, we're going to have a chat about the benefits that bamboo clothing gives us, and probably going to talk a little bit about having bamboo at home as well in the garden.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg.
Okay, we're on to part two with Merin from BAM Clothing, who are the guys that make bamboo t-shirts, bamboo trousers, clothes made from bamboo, which is fascinating. So now we're going to look at what that can do to help you at home as a listener. So could you tell us the benefits? What are the main USPs of wearing bamboo?
I would say the top one is how soft it is. Mm-hmm. It's super soft and comfortable. And the fibre that you can make from bamboo is, yeah, super soft and comfortable. It's made from this sustainable raw material. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it keeps you feeling comfortable because the way that the fibre works is it's very absorbent, so it absorbs moisture away from your skin, which is a kind of attribute of more natural fibres. They absorb moisture, and synthetic fibres don't absorb moisture, which is why sometimes they can feel a bit sticky and sweaty against your skin. Mm-hmm. If you've got like a polyester top on, it can feel a bit ugh. Whereas the bamboo clothing absorbs it away from your skin and kind of holds the moisture within the fibre, and that the way that it does that also stops air getting to the odor-creating bacteria that's in that water, and mm-hmm. so that's why it doesn't get smelly quickly, basically.
Okay.
So yeah,
hence why you can wear your pants 2 days in a row.
Exactly. But would cotton not have that attribute necessarily, then?
Cotton does have that some of those attributes, yeah. But it's stronger in a bamboo viscose fibre because mm-hmm. of the way that it absorbs more moisture. That's mm-hmm. kind of the trick of it really is the way that it absorbs moisture away from your skin.
And it's more cozy, like it's, you know, so you really said it's more comfortable.
It is. Yeah. The socks are so lovely. Like, I do love my socks.
Yeah.
And they're just super soft and warm, and, but not too warm. I genuinely, it's not saying it because of this podcast.
it really, really is. But that's kind of, we want to create, I don't know, a legging that is your favourite legging. It's the one you always reach for because it's soft and it's comfortable, and that's what people want out of their clothing. They want it to be soft, they want it to be comfortable
and sustainable.
So
well, we filmed a little piece, some videos for a plant-based podcast the other week, and we wore a whole outfit was made of bamboo. So
did
I had
you?
Chinos and a polo top, and obviously the underwear and the socks. And you had
I've got a lovely t-shirt. Yeah. I've got some yoga pants and a jersey top, which is like the softest top ever.
Oh, nice!
But to look at it, you wouldn't know the difference because, like, suddenly you hear about this new, different material, kind of like, oh yeah, but will it be as good looking and fashionable as what I usually wear? And the answer is yes. Yeah. It just looks the same.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's like vegan food. You know, like people are like, well, I'll miss meat, but then it looks the same as meat.
I know.
So fine.
What are you eating? Yeah. The same as you, just not the meat and dairy. Yeah. But yeah, it's really good stuff. But you know, talking about kind of that throwaway fashion, a lot of the reason why that's the case is because you can get clothes so cheap.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously the cost is different, isn't it? If you are purchasing anything that's particularly sustainable. So with BAM, how does the cost compare to other clothes?
A BAM t-shirt is going to cost you more than a plain conventional cotton t-shirt, and that
it's going to last you a lot longer.
It's going to last you longer. You do pay at the moment a little bit more for organic cotton, more sustainable fibres potentially do cost a little bit more at the moment. But we are very committed to trying to make it still affordable, and we're very much focused on a middle sort of price point, and we don't want to make it unaffordable for people because we want the sustainable clothing industry to grow. We don't just want people to buy it from us. We want people to buy it from all sustainable clothing companies. And the more that we can get people to buy it, the cheaper it will become, and the more.
Yeah, I completely get it. And also, but as a consumer, you have to consider the fact that yes, the outlay is a few quid more, but that's going to last you for longer. You are making a commitment to the environment when you're doing it, and I think a lot of the reason why we have this huge throwaway fashion thing is because of the whole kind of celebrity thing, all the magazines, all the social media. You're trying to keep up with things and like changing all of the time, and do you know what I mean?
But also,
the fashion's
how cheap
changed.
Things are.
That's it. But that's exactly
what
I mean. But it's like supply and demand, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we keep buying. So the price comes down, you keep buying, and you're only doing it because you know you think that's what you should do, perhaps. But actually, and so then it's become this kind of throwaway industry. So you know, it's a consumer thing as well. Yeah, it's like we have to almost change our culture in a way to recognise.
If you've paid more for something, you care about it more. You want to repair it and take care of it if you really love that garment. I think, we've got away from that a bit about buying something that you really love and keeping it forever.
And don't get me wrong, I'm completely guilty of it. You know,
me too.
I'm not saying by any means that I don't do it, but it is definitely food for thought, you know, to try and to think about your purchasing choices.
I think the other point is the onus is definitely on businesses to make the right decisions and not pass that all of that cost on to the consumer. As a business selling clothes, we should be doing the right thing and we should be sourcing the right materials.
The price will change over the next 5 years. T-shirt will perhaps be, quarter of the price that it is now.
Potentially,
it gets more normalised as well.
Yeah, interesting. So let's just talk about bamboo, shall we?
Why do you want to talk about bamboo?
Well, funny that.
You don't want to complain about
bamboo. I'm not complaining. I was actually going to tell you how much I really love bamboo.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you go to, like botanic gardens and stuff, and they have huge, big bamboo, loads of different species there.
Easy
and
then, when you're short and like then, you are.
When you're short like me, you can't see the top sometimes. But people always carve their names in and stuff. Is that actually allowed? Are you allowed to do that? Like, I think you can't do that.
Well, it's like...
No, have you not seen that?
It's kind
people
of perhaps
their name
unethical,
in the
but I'm not sure it's illegal, darling.
I didn't mean illegal, but I don't think it meant so. But anyway, there's so many different
what
species.
What is this tangent?
No, sorry. Anyway, there's loads of different bamboo species. So you were saying, obviously, that what you grow to use for clothing isn't the same as what we would grow at home in our garden.
Yeah, and the same with bamboo that's used for construction and toothbrushes and things like that.
Well, of course, it's different. Because in Hong Kong and China, they use it for scaffolding.
But
you kind of look at it as a Westerner. It's so scary. But of course, they know what they're doing.
Solid. Yeah. And that's why it's so good and such a good alternative to trees, because it's a grass and it grows like a grass, but it's woody like a tree and it's hard, so it can be used for all those
I've got a question. Do the Chinese farms that are providing the bamboo, do they know that it's going to clothing? Is the concept alien to them?
I don't think it's alien to them because bamboo, clothing made from bamboo probably is mostly popular in China at the moment.
Okay.
And I would say their biggest customers are domestic customers at the moment.
Okay.
It was interesting actually going all the way back to China and going back to our bamboo source and meeting the people running the pulp production and harvesting the bamboo.
Yeah.
And they don't know that it's coming to a random little company in the UK.
Yeah.
And they find it really interesting. They definitely
do.
Cool.
Because
really
bamboo
cool.
is also being used to make some new kind of plates, picnic plates, kind of stuff like that. I've seen a lot of that, even coffee cups.
Yeah.
That's right.
Reusable coffee cups made from bamboo, which you look at it, it's kind of like, how does it get from that to that? But of course, that's more than my brain can cope with.
It's cool though. I like it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I remember we've got a corner in our garden where there's some bamboo growing.
And here comes the bamboo anecdote.
No, this is
the anecdote part of the podcast.
I find this really funny, but you might not. And it's not contained, and it's in the middle of like three other gardens, and it's crazy. No one would ever have planted it there. It's really stupid. Don't plant your bamboo in the garden without containing it, or at least keeping it in check. And I decided it had got really, really big, so I cut back the shoots that were the tallest and gave it a bit of air, and it looks better. The structure is better all in all. And then I looked out of my lounge window probably about 2 weeks later, and it had literally sent up shoots in our next door neighbour's garden.
Because you stimulated
it. I just didn't think. I just wanted to cut down the bamboo.
Yeah.
And then after about 2 weeks after that, the new shoots were as tall as mine. I mean, it was just absolutely massive.
I remember being at your house. It didn't just come up at the side of the garden.
It
was in the middle of the garden.
It was massive. It was absolutely massive. And I just thought, oh my gosh. And I apologised to them and they cut it down. They were completely fine, but it did go a bit crazy.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a problem with it in the UK, isn't there? People are always like, could you take mine and make some clothes out of it?
Yeah, you can't.
Quite well, but,
Do you know the Latin of, is it Philostachus that you use for clothing?
Yes, but it's got a second bit, and I don't know
okay.
what that is.
Yeah, probably a very
I'd have
different.
To check, yeah.
Yeah, because the one we mostly would grow is, like, well, a lot of black bamboo.
Black bamboo is actually better
yeah.
for invasiveness. It's not as
yeah,
invasive,
yeah,
so that's much better to grow, yeah.
yeah.
But, yeah, I like bamboo. It's all good. It's all good. Anyway, it's been really interesting, and I think really thought-provoking as well.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Where can we find you online? Do you, like, your website is BAM Clothing?
Yeah, Bamboo Clothing.
Bamboo Clothing.
Yeah, it's nice. The website. Yeah.
Go check
and
them out.
You do lots of offers. They're often popping up on social media to get a free pair of socks.
Oh, actually, I bought you guys a free pair of socks each.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I knew that. I knew
that's
there was
a moment.
There was a benefit to sitting outside in the cold in autumn.
Brilliant. Yeah,
I should
thank
have
you.
Given you the socks at the beginning
thank
of the podcast.
You.
And you could have worn them.
That's really yeah. nice. Thank
you. It was a good reveal. Cool. Thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Mary.
No problem. Thank you.
So how exciting is it, while you fiddle around with your trousers, for us to be coming out of lockdown a little bit now?
Yeah, great, really.
Have you already been to Sea Gardens? Where
yeah.
have you been?
I went to Helmingham Hall in Suffolk on,
nice.
I think it was like the first day after the kind of like, I don't know what stage it was, like when they then said you could open this or that or something. And it was really well done. It was like all... obviously spaced hand hygiene here and there and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Have you been to any of the RHS gardens?
Yeah, I went to Wisley, when was it? I don't know, about 10 days ago?
Right.
And that was obviously timed entry, like when you're in there, kind of like, you just... You pretty much got to manage yourself, but kind of like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all grown-ups and...
Exactly.
You know.
And you have to just appreciate the situation and have respect for people,
oh,
don't
definitely.
You?
And
be
I went
careful.
To you as well at some point, so... Yeah.
I have a whole list.
Mm.
I cannot wait.
What's some cool Norwich ones? We could, or Norfolk ones?
There's quite a few. And actually, I was looking on the NGS website, the National Garden Scheme website, and they've got quite a few open gardens as well. So I never get this name right. Ravenham. That's meant to be really beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But this year, like, more than ever, I suppose, and I don't know why, but I feel really inclined to go and see people's personal gardens. So, you know, with NGS, it's like you people opening up their own personal space, beautiful gardens. I feel like more inclined to do that. I don't. I wonder if it's because of having less contact with people for so many months.
Isn't it? Or showing people your support or...
Yeah.
But actually, I think those type of gardens will be the ones that are most cared for.
Yeah.
Because it's really weird.
Yeah.
When I went to a queue, obviously, I guess maybe they'd furloughed lots of stuff, so there was less staff on site, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like there was a point in March where everything just stopped, whatever industry you were in, you know. And so there was like quite a lot of weeds there.
Was it? Weeds.
And they're trying
to
like keep up with it. And also, I went to East Ruston Vicarage Garden.
Yeah, that's an amazing
lovely
garden,
but I could see they're then fighting with the weeds as well.
Really?
So it's obviously this kind of, you know, partial closure that things had. Like
East Ruston
that,
is a lovely garden.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that could probably get away with carrying a few weeds here and there, you know, because of the kind of wild effect. But
maybe Q are trying to look cool, you know, having some weeds can be cool.
I think they were just desperately trying to keep up. Of course, you know, we understand, though. That's fine. But, it was just made me smile a bit.
I'm definitely going to go to Hyde Hall because I really love Hyde Hall. Their dry garden there is amazing.
Really cool vistas.
And actually, I think Hyde Hall was probably the last garden I visited before going away and before lockdown. So it'd be really nice, like it was quite
late.
Yeah,
I think it's quite
on.
Underrated, to be fair.
It's a fabulous garden. Like their grasses in autumn, completely stunning.
Yeah, definitely.
So I definitely like to go back and see that.
What's this, I want to go to this Blickling.
Blickling Hall.
In Norwich, isn't it? Norfolk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, someone's going to tell me this is wrong, but like a Tudor mansion or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like a big old mansion house, and then it's in some grounds with some gardens and stuff. But there's another one, not Blickling, there's another one on your way to Aylsham. Oh my gosh, I can't remember.
Felton? Felton?
No.
No.
Anyway, Fellbrook. That's really cool.
Oh, plant delivery. Postman saw me gesticulating here and he thought I was waving at him. Oh no. And now he's going to give me everyone's mail now.
No, he's just going to be really friendly with you.
That's good, it's bonding.
Wing, not Winghaven, oh my goodness, the one by
Peacehaven.
The
Fairhaven.
Fairhaven. Yeah. I'm still stuck in North Carolina, Winghaven. Fairhaven is a lovely water garden, and actually around, like this time of year, the gardens will look really beautiful. So
yeah,
that's
I drove past it, probably when I was on the way back from your mum's with this urgent delivery of greens. Oh, you'll have to take me there.
Yeah, that's a really, really nice place. And you walk kind of all through a kind of wooded area and then you just enter this vast open space on the Broads. Mm. Like, you literally just go, whoa, like all of a sudden it's there, it's fab.
What, you fall in?
No, but I like push you in.
Oh, how wonderful. I went to Place for Plants, what's it called, East Bergot Place the other week, which is more of a spring garden, to be honest, but... it's nice when the hydrangeas start to come on as well. Lots of nice woodland hydrangeas.
That sounds a bit like Fairhaven.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like from what? From what I said, what?
Yeah, the woodland.
But it's got plants. And
you said it's like woodland, but that when the hydrangeas are right, they look like the same as Fairhaven. You're so cheeky.
And I've been to a couple of places you've been jealous recently, actually.
Oh, yeah.
With sweet peas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did a photo shoot with some sweet peas at King's. Also visited Seedlings, where they breed and select.
Did it smell amazing?
That's all right. I guess your nose gets used to it, really.
Yeah. It's like the best fragrance ever.
Yeah, it is. But you know, there's it was interesting because I talked to them a lot about sweet peas, and there's actually different layers. Different kind of levels of fragrance and slightly different scents across different types.
Right, okay.
Because you imagine all sweet peas smell the same, but some have got slightly different notes in, a bit more spicy, a bit more sweet. So that was quite nice to learn about as well.
And didn't you give us a teaser on some new sweet peas as well?
Yeah, there's really cool ones coming through. Like, obviously people's, you know, the holy grail in sweet peas is yellow. So there's some nice kind of biscuity yellow colours coming through, but... interestingly, kind of like the almost the rejects from the breeding program end up lovely shades of turquoise and blue and all of those.
No.
So it's quite odd that while you're trying to breed a certain color, it throws you in completely different directions.
But the blues are beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. They're like color shifters. That's what they call them.
Yeah,
they change through all the different shades.
Mary, my allotment neighbour, always gets a mention on the podcast. She has Sweet Pea Bristol, and it's a gorgeous shade of blue. It's absolutely beautiful. She says that I can pick some, so I'm definitely going.
Oh, how wonderful. You and Mary.
Me and Mary.
But Mary hates me. She was judging my weeding. Honestly, my remit was only to weed the greens.
You've done a beautiful job.
Oh,
you've done a beautiful
job. She's far
job.
Too passive aggressive, mate.
Hey, no, she's not. So you have been to kind of like look at these sweet peas, and we were, you know, we've been talking about looking at breeding, and I have never ever entered that world before, but. When we done our podcast with Ian from Peterbilt's Roses, and he was talking about breeding roses.
Yeah.
And like it's literally sparked my imagination now.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because one of my first jobs at Thompson Morgan was I did a kind of like almost work experience in the summer, and I was took around lots of different areas and just to get a little bit of experience in different departments. And one of those where I spent quite a bit of time in the summer was the breeding site in Woodbridge, and I've done a fair bit of breeding of some plants, mostly verbascums. I was working on Copper Rose, which is a special seed mix, which is an F1 hybrid. So every time you create that new batch of seed, you need to go back to the original parents.
Right.
So it's really quite labour intensive, but obviously always needs to be done. So, yeah, and I hadn't even thought about breeding since then, like... But we could try our hand at it maybe next season.
I really think we should give this a go.
Easy-ish stuff, like, I don't know, aquilegias are always fun because they're quite easy to hybridize and promiscuous.
Well. Promiscuous, yeah. I like that. So something that's
pretty easy, that is
pretty tolerant of maybe like dry conditions, so it's easy for people to grow. How exciting. Something a bit colourful as well.
Mm.
It could be like the plant-based podcast breeding program.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Maybe we really should.
That would be so exciting. Like, I've never done it before. So, yeah. I would love to learn more about it. That would be amazing.
Yeah, we'd really tap into kind of, like, obviously, a knowledge that I had back then. And also, we used to pay for a lot of, like, plants that customers had bred at home as well, so
yeah.
I remember kind of putting together like the breeding leaflets to show how to do it and such. Cool. I was like, yeah, I have to dig them out.
So that can be our goal for next year.
Yeah, definitely. Just look at how big my hair is, which is completely off subject, but never mind.
Have you had your hair cut since lockdown?
Just the once, but this is now a friend helped me out, but when a friend is cutting your hair, it's not the same as going to a barber.
No, so, I trimmed my husband's hair and he trimmed mine as well. He'd done a really good job of mine, I might add. But after I trimmed his, he didn't really keep it long much longer. He went and got it all cut really short.
Oh, because so, he didn't like it or what?
Don't know, I didn't ask. I didn't need to know if he didn't like it.
Well, I mean, if they were open at that point, then you might as well give it. Sort of
they silly. Opened a week before in America than they did here. No, okay, 2 weeks actually, I think.
Yeah, because I don't have, it's Tuesday my appointment, and that was quite a long wait really, but.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Oh.
Very good. Check us out.
Very good.
Check us out. We're going to be the future breeders in the industry.
Cool.com.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Natural Grower. Launched in 2019, their award-winning liquid fertilizer and soil conditioner is made entirely from maize. Naturally rich in nitrogen, potash, phosphate, and other trace elements that plants and vegetables love, it is approved by the Soil Association, Vegan Society, and Organic Farmers and Growers. Visit naturalgrower.co.uk to nurture your soil and boost your plants and veg. Enter PBP15 for a 15% discount as a PBP subscriber.
Thanks for listening. You should now be at least 25% more obsessed by plants.
Please follow us on social media. You'll find us by typing in the Plant-Based Podcast.
We also have a fabulous website. Go to theplantbasedpodcast.net.
So tell your friends, leave a review. Why not write a letter to your local MP? Please spread the word about the Plant-Based Podcast.
Oh yes, see you next time, plant friends. The theme music for the Plant-Based Podcast is an excerpt from the song Grow by Mikey James. And our editing is done by Gareth Patch of Semi Echo.